Any prayer requests? Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, 18. Now, we were talking last Sunday about having authority in the name of Jesus. See, one thing about God, He's not going to just bring you into His kingdom and let you just be a target. You know, there's a lot of Christians run around with this target mentality. And for some reason, they picked up this philosophy of turning the other cheek continually. Regardless of what happens to them, turn the other cheek. Don't stand up for yourself. Don't cause a fuss. Be quiet. You know how stupid that is? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's three things that the world will throw at you to try to get you to back down. Manipulation, intimidation, and domination. That's all three of those are witchcraft. And you have absolutely no business submitting to that. Ever. Ever. The government throws those three things at you all the time. Even the local government tries that. You don't bow your knee to that. Not ever. The last Sunday we figured out that there is authority in the name of Jesus, and that Jesus had the keys. I want you to see this here in Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, right there, before He ascended back to heaven, He had delegated His authority to you. See, this wasn't just to the apostles. It wasn't just to the local disciples. It was to every single born-again believer. When you get born again, you automatically have a ministry. Did you know that? You automatically have a ministry. You may not be a prophet or an apostle or a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist, but you do have a ministry, and it's to witness to other people about the resurrection of Jesus. Then He's alive. He forgives you. Amen? And you can get them born again. You know, here's the really cool thing. You can get people born again, and then you can go get them water baptized, and then you can pray with them to help them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then you can bring them to church. That's what we call a turnkey Christian. Pastors don't see that very often. It's okay however you get them to church. It doesn't matter. If they have to be born again when they get there, that's okay. If you bring them in born again, that's great. But you have the authority to do that. Now go to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. I don't know why some people want to take this, the Great Commission, out of the Bible. But they claim it doesn't belong there. But it's everything. Like, the guy that ordained me, he told me, he said, pastors don't beget sheep. Sheep beget sheep. That means that when people get born again, they go all over the place telling people about Jesus. That's how other people get born again. You know, you're going to run into people that I won't run into. And believe it or not, there's people that just won't darken the doorway to this church unless somebody tells them about Jesus and invites them to church. And, you know, just like Jesus, when he was on this earth, he could only be one place at any given time. But his believers can be all over the place. And because of the Holy Spirit, who is everywhere all the time, people can get born again. Amen? Mark chapter 16, verse 17. This is Jesus talking here. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. This wasn't talking to the fivefold ministry. It wasn't talking to the early day apostles. It's talking to every single born again believer. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. That's believers. When you take up the name of Jesus, you can expect to see good things happen through you and for you. Amen. It's exciting when you lay hands on somebody and pray for them and they get better. That's cool. This right here, though, is the key. There's a lot of people sitting in churches waiting to do the greater things that Jesus talked about. You know, in Mark chapter 14, verse 12, he said, whatsoever I do, shall he does, because he believes in me. And even greater things shall he do. And they're waiting for the greater things. They're waiting to see the greater things. They want to see these big things. But they're not going to see them. You want to know why? They didn't do the first thing. They didn't do the first thing. They want to see the miracles. They want to see all these things, all these signs and wonders. They're not going to see them because they didn't do the first thing. They didn't go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, that's where it all starts. I've been in churches where people say, I want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in the church. I said, well, that's not God's best for you. You know where the gifts of the Holy Spirit belong? Out there, where you're witnessing to other people. That's when it gets fun. That's when it gets really, really cool. I can't even tell you how fun it is, how cool it is. It's awesome when the gifts of the Holy Spirit start operating through you. Just out of random. But it's always to help people. It's always to minister to people. It's never, ever to destroy anybody. It's always to help somebody. But here's the thing. You have to be available with your time. And then you have to be willing to just do what he says. Don't think it's just something you heard. Don't think it's just you. You just have to, for lack of a good word, is just take a risk. This is where people miss the boat all the time. They don't want to take a risk. What if I look foolish? What if I fail? What if I do it wrong? You know who they're looking at when they say that? At them. What happens if everything works right? What if you just hear God and you repeat it the way He wants it and somebody gets set free? Amen? But you can't be trying to figure it out. Don't waste your time trying to figure it out. Just be willing and obedient and just let the chips fall where they may. Let it roll. You're doing it in His name. You have authority to do this. Operating the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Just let it roll. These signs and wonders were promised. He said, in my name, literally in the name of Jesus, He authorized us. He gave us His name as the authority. The power is in the name. The authority is in the name. It's all in the name of Jesus. It's in His name. Just like when Peter told the man that was lame at the gate, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now, Peter could have just stopped at that, but he didn't. He took the risk and grabbed the guy and lifted him up. You're going to walk. See, faith is going to have corresponding action. One of the funniest experiences, one of the funnest experiences I ever had with this, operating in the gifts of the Spirit and using the name of Jesus, was for a long time. I'd go to Altel to the store and I'd pay my phone bill. And I went to the same place every time, the same desk every time, paid my phone bill in cash. Every time, for I don't know how long, for a long, long time, it went on like this. And then one day I go wandering in there and they said, oh, you got to pay your bill back in this office. Oh, that's strange. I wonder if I did something wrong. So they said, yeah, you got to go back to the office. So I went back to the office and I sat down. And there was a lady at the desk and a lady standing behind her. And I just looked at this lady. And I said, the strife between you and your mom in your church would stop if you would stop living with this man out of marriage. And she looked at me like I slapped her with a wet fish. And her friend standing behind her said, are you a psychic or what? I said, no, but the strife between you and your mom and your church will stop if you'll stop living with this man out of marriage. And she said, my God, how did you know that? I've never seen you before in my life. I said, lady, that's just what I'm supposed to tell you. Paid my phone bill. I never seen her again. I never ever had to go to the office again. But look, God has messages for people, and if they're not hearing Him for themselves, and He desperately needs to get this message to them, He will use other people to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's always to help them. It's never to destroy them. It's never to hurt them. It's always to help them. You do it all in the name of Jesus, and you're going to be helping them. Matter of fact, he commissioned us to use his name. This is literally our commission. It's our job. See, that's what a commission is. It's a job. To go into all the world and preach in the name of Jesus. Go back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Doesn't that sound like pretty much everywhere? Now, you know, you may not ever get called to even leave the county. And that's okay. You still got a job. See, all of the world is the minute you step out that door. You're in all the world. And maybe you may get called to go to Africa, Mexico, who knows? It's up to God. But if you haven't got that call to go leave the country or leave the state, then preach at the grocery store or the gas station. Tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Let them know that he loves them. He gave us that same commission in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He said, go out there. Use his name. Cast out devils. Did you know you can do that? You don't have to have no special anointing oil. You don't have to have no mood music. You don't have to have no incense burning. You don't even have to have your Bible with you. You can literally cast the devil out of somebody in the gas station parking lot. You can get them set free. They desperately need it. You know, most of the time when almost every time I ever cast the devil out of somebody was not inside a church building. It's been in parking lots, in bar ditches. Yeah, my friend, he got one in Walmart one time. He cast the devil out of a guy. The guy was laying on the floor getting worked over. And when he woke up, my buddy standing over the top of him. And he woke up and there's John. What happened? John cast that thing out of him. Got him set free. But that's what it's about. Out there. It's fun in here, but it's important out there too. It's just as important out there as it is in here. In fact, this is just an equipping place. This is a place to learn how to do this and get powered up, get equipped to go out there to do what you need to do. I know when people come in, they need pastors, you know, they sometimes they need God's word ministered to them so that they can get over the things that have been tearing them down, you know, they can get set free. But once they get set free, then they need to get taught to go out there. Amen. Some folks may say that healing, speaking in tongues, has been done away with. You know, some think that apostles have been done away with. Some think that it's only pastors, is that the only thing, maybe an evangelist once in a while. But man, his fivefold ministry. And he never did get rid of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They may even say that we don't have authority over demons. You know, there is some people, and this just drives me crazy, because I hear pastors say this all the time. So the devil is just going to do what he's going to do. He's going to get away with whatever he's going to get away with. That he's going to destroy this world. And it's God's judgment on us. Man, you need to get a hold of yourself. Because you're not reading the gospel. You're reading your church doctrine, but you're not reading the gospel. One guy, I made a preacher so mad one time because he said when California was on fire, it's the judgment of God. Because everybody in California is all evil. And I said, bull. Because God destroys California because of his judgment, then he's going to have to destroy Texas. And he kind of stopped. And then he's going to have to destroy Michigan and Wyoming and South Dakota. He's going to have to destroy the whole world. And he said, what do you mean? I said, if he judges one of us, he's got to judge all of us. And in fact, he already did that when Jesus got on the cross. And then he justified us, and we're not paying for that sin again. Did you know it wasn't God's judgment that burned California up? There were some people lighting fires. That didn't help. Bad management, that didn't help. California has a unique way of tearing down their hedge of protection, pulling the curse down over their heads, but it's not God doing it to them. So has all this been done away with? No. He said that supernatural signs follow the name of Jesus. They follow the name of Jesus. They follow the Word of God. Supernatural signs. This is really important. Now, the Bible tells us not to fall for lying signs and wonders. So be careful. Don't be deceived. You'll run into lying signs and wonders. You know, the devil can do magic tricks. He can do signs and wonders. This is why it's important to not get caught chasing signs and wonders. Follow the Word of God. Signs and wonders will follow the Word of God. That's what you need to do, is make sure whatever you're listening to is the Word of God. Not just, you know, there's people, they'll flock from one place to another because, you know, now they got a new praise and worship band over here. Man, these guys, you just get a goosebump feeling every time you go in there. And then pretty soon that one will kind of wear off, and then they'll say, man, this guy over here, you should have seen this. This place is rocking. Now, hundreds of people flock over there. And then pretty soon, it's over here. What's going on? They're following signs and wonders. They're following a goosey, bumpy feeling. They're waiting for something to happen instead of being a part of something that is happening. Amen. Some people will say that was just for the early church. What exactly are we? The late church? Well, I'm just curious sometimes, because everything changed after the cross. The early church was under the law. And we got a whole new deal after Jesus got on the cross. We're in a whole new dispensation. But look, if all those things were true, then the name of Jesus doesn't belong to us. And no one is born again today. Their salvation is only through the name of Jesus. Now, if all this stuff was tied to the name of Jesus, and if it got done away with, then we're all toast. Because it's all absolutely relevant. It's all part of the gospel. You know, healing is part of the gospel. Speaking in tongues is part of the gospel. Sometimes people get confused and they just think that being born again and water baptized is part of the gospel. And that's it. That's not it. Salvation is the gospel. Everything that Jesus said we can do, everything that Jesus said we can have, is part of the gospel. Amen? There is none other. Only the name of Jesus. There's no other salvation other than in that name. That name still enwraps all the power, all the majesty, and all the glory it ever did. All the wonderfulness of Jesus is in that name. The name stands for the person. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered, and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them, that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. When you speak the word only, you have authority over disease and sickness. But you got to speak the word. You got to speak what the Bible says, not any doctrine, not any tradition, not what mama says. You got to speak the word in the name of Jesus. You know, when Jesus faced the devil face to face and the devil was there tempting him, Jesus said, it is written, and he quoted scripture to him. You know, if Jesus had to quote scripture to him, how much more are we going to have to quote scripture to him? But he gave us his name to use it, to do it. So we can tell the devil what the Bible says and tell him to get in the name of Jesus. All the authority, all the power that was in Jesus is in his name. He gave his name to the church. Peter knew he had something in that name. You know, Peter didn't have a Bible to carry around. He had the spoken word, and he knew he had the name of Jesus. But Peter said that the written word is even better than a message from an angel, basically. That it's better than anything, the written word. We have the written word. You know, you can say something to somebody, and by the time it gets to the other side of town, it's completely different than what you said. But when you write it down, and they repeat it verbatim, it's the same when it gets over there. It's the same. He wrote it down for us. We got it. Peter knew what he had in that name. You know, we have remission of sins in the name of Jesus. Not just forgiveness. Complete remission. That's important to understand. Because if somebody forgives you, that doesn't mean that they forgot. See, there's people running around saying forgive and forget. That's not in the Bible. When you forgive and forget, you're being stupid. Because you're destined to run into the same trouble again. Forgive and learn from what happened. Amen? Learn from your mistakes. Don't forget. Now, don't let it be a remorseful thing to you, but learn from it. But when you get something remitted, it's completely gone. Out of remembrance. That's what God does. He takes your sins and he completely forgets them. That's good news, man. That's where we got the scapegoat from. Did you know the scapegoat come from the Bible? Yeah. Yeah, the scapegoat. They used to take two goats to the high priest, and this guy, they sacrificed one and take the blood of that one. And but anyway, they'd apply to this other goat, which was then, and it signified the sins of the people on the scapegoat. Here's an interesting thing. They'd take that goat and they'd head east with that goat. And he just kept going east. And that goat was never, ever seen again. So God said, your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. He takes them gone. So you're forgiven and completely washed clean. You know, there's some people that are just trying to hold out to the end, thinking that the devil has taken over. But you cannot find that in the New Testament. What you find in the Bible is the devil declining to an end. And he's running out of time. His days are numbered. He is coming to an end. He's not going to get stronger. People focus on the darkness and they listen to the dark reports and they say, this world is just getting darker and darker and darker and darker. That's not true. There's more and more light getting exposed every day. There's more light getting into the world every day than you can even imagine. And they're having revivals in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. Why don't we ever see it? Well, you're not going to see it on the mainstream media. They'd have people that would have meetings in Africa and people would walk for 3 days to get to that meeting. And when they'd have the meeting, they'd have 5 million people. You know, Africa is like a really strong Muslim place. And they'd have 5 million people at that meeting. and 2 or 3 million of them will get born again? No, the dark's not getting darker. The light's getting brighter. And the darkness will not overtake the light. Just remember that you have authority in the name of Jesus so you can cause your light to shine in this world in the dark places. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus did for us. He's given us his name, and we can use that name for protection. And we can use that name to have our needs met. And we can use that name to set people free. Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us every day. We praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.